So friends, the subject that we have before us is one of the most important subjects that I ever preached on. The title of the message, Beware of False Conversion. I will not bore you with many examples, too much information. I think I will preach again on this subject and make it a topical subject. But what I want us to do this morning is to just go through what Jesus had for us here in the Gospel according to Matthew. So if we will turn together to Matthew chapter 7, and we will read verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. Church, false conversion is definitely a suicide to the local church. This is whereby you have unsaved people running the show, making Christianity or remaking Christianity in contrary to what the scripture portrays Christianity to be. False conversion is a product of false teaching. False conversion has eternal implications. We have seen last week the devastating reality about false teachers and false prophets, even here in our land. We have seen their deceitful ways, their character, their appearance, their fruits, their popularity and busy schedules, going up and down looking for people, searching for people to deceive them for the sake of personal gain. This morning, I want us to see then the heartbreaking reality which many people will be faced with beyond the grave. Because friends, when it is all being said and done, when we get into that day, we will realize that not all, as the Bible says here, not everyone who said, Lord, Lord, was actually a Christian. And we realize then that as we live in this world, friends, those people who follow the heretics, those who follow the false teachings out there, they actually have become just religious than becoming Christians. They put on an act, if you will. They do things that will convince many that they are Christians. Then we end up having a high attendance status in the church, but a shameful, lawless reality out there. The Christian life becomes what we say, not how we live. We end up having a Jesus who is just a savior in words, but not Lord in that practical life experience. Divorce escalates. Constitutional human rights become more valuable and more important than the law of God. And all these, friends, are just signs of false Christianity, signs of false conversion. The question that we have here, my friends, why should you be aware of false conversion? Why? Firstly, false conversion gives false assurance. Look at your Bible, verse 21 to 22. False conversion gives false assurance. This is Jesus speaking. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and did many mighty works in your name?
Friends, what you need to see here is that intellectual awareness of Christ is not knowing Jesus. Intellectual awareness of Christ gives false hope and false assurance. We have here before us people who have followed Jesus Christ, if you will, throughout their lives. They've been to where preaching was done. They've been where Jesus was proclaimed, maybe. And they thought they were saved. But they did not have a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only a superficial or intellectual knowledge. They did go to church. But the message did not benefit them. They remained as they are, they remained the same regardless of their profession of faith. Regardless of what they were saying with their mouth, but they remained the same. Their lives did not change. They were not a great example in society. They pretended to be something when they were nothing. They tried to fool everybody, thinking that they can fool the God of heaven. From these two verses, verse 21 and verse 22, I want to lay out to you why these were false converts led by false assurance. Jesus says here, the first thing you need to notice, Jesus says their assurance was built on false faith. That is the first thing you need to know. A false convert's assurance is built on false faith. In other words, they had a skin-deep religion. Their religion was not deep as Christianity was. It was just a surface thing. Something that you can move out. Something that can be blown away by wind. They had a skin deep religion. They said with their mouth, "Lord, Lord," when their heart was far from the Lord Jesus Christ. But please notice, they were deceived. They believed a lie. They thought they had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But actually they had assurance from men, not assurance from the Holy Spirit. In other words, they did not allow the Holy Spirit to evaluate their life as they were living in this world. They did not allow the Holy Spirit to correct them. When they were corrected, they rebuked back. When they were preached to, they said, "We are fine." The message was always for someone else and not for them. Unless the message was motivational stories, then it was for them. But if the message was about Jesus, righteousness, sin, and hell, it was not for them, it was for someone else. And of course, there's a possibility that they were actually sincere in their confession, but we can see here that they were actually sincerely wrong. Even though you may be sincere in what you say with your mouth, there's a possibility you are sincerely wrong, my friend. You have not built your faith on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. You have not built your faith on the rock, but on sinking sand. That is the first thing. False faith. Saying, "Lord, Lord," with your mouth when your heart is far from Jesus. But we see another thing here, that they also had built their assurance on false spirituality. Jesus says they prophesied in his name. They spoke great words and made some scriptural quotations, if you will, from the Bible. The people were making predictions in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, saying things, claiming those things they were saying, they were from God when they lied to one another. And in our days, you have those who go so far to say that what they speak becomes. They believe that their tongues produce life and prosperity. Yet their bed of roses, their bed of thorns, not of roses, their bed of thorns is actually laid in hell, ready for them to lie there because of false spirituality and false claims. False spirituality is when you claim to be super spiritual, claiming to be speaking on behalf of God, when God is actually not speaking to you. They prophesied in the name of the Lord. That is another sign of false conversion. But Jesus continues to say their false assurance was also built on false power. That is what we see in these verses. Their assurance was built on false power. Jesus says they cast out demons in the name of the Lord. In other words, they believed that they had power from above. Actually, when they had power from below, or they didn't have power at all. They believed that they had divine power when it was obvious that their power was demonic powers. And I want you to notice here, my friends, Jesus does not deny that they did cast out demons in his name. But he says casting out demons in his name will not be a prerequisite to enter into the kingdom of God. He will not care what you have done. He will not care about the power you claimed to have. That is why, my friends, you should not follow power, but follow the truth. Another thing we see in this verse is that their false assurance, which proves false conversion, is that they build on worthless good works. Good works, which means nothing. They say here, we did many mighty deeds in your name, O God. So they were busy people in the name of the Lord. They were busy doing some stuff, my friends. And you know, friends, even this day, if you really open your eyes, you will see that false converts follows those who perform or do mighty deeds. They follow them. But not only do they follow them, they also do mighty deeds. The mighty deeds that false converts can do can be works of charity, helping people, which is good. But those claims, friends, according to Jesus here, those claims will not be your ticket to heaven. Because, friends, we are not saved by works. The works that we do does not save us. But we are saved. Listen very careful. We are saved to produce good works. Good works does not save you. But we are saved to produce good works. Which is why we need to pray to the Lord to help us to continue to do good works, which pleases the Lord. Good works from a convicted, converted heart. Not good works because we are a good person. Because those good works will not be your ticket unto heaven. Jesus says, that day I will tell you, you were so much busy, but I was not in that chaos that you were doing. Especially as you see many mighty works being performed out there. Jesus says, those things will not be a ticket to heaven. So we can see here, friends, that these people were claiming that they did some stuff. They were doing things in the name of the Lord. Things like I've counted, the works of charity or helping others. Yet, listen, friends, it was not enough to save them. What we see here is that false conversion or false converts, these false converts standing before the Lord Jesus Christ did not love the Bible. They only loved to do stuff so that they may be recognized by others. Remember what we said when we studied chapter number 6? People standing somewhere doing deeds to the public or before the public so that the public may appreciate them. This is exactly the problem. They were doing things to be appreciated by many, but they did not love and followed the word of God. They did not put their trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, but they put their trust on their limited understanding of Jesus. They thought they were God's children because they cast out demons, but Jesus says they were not his. Because, friends, it is possible to cast out demons in the name of the Lord, yet not have saving faith. It's possible to cast out demons out there, but still not have saving faith. Judas was one of those people. Judas was one of the disciples who were given powers to cast out demons. When they came back to report to the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter number 10 verse 18, he was one of those who said the demons were subject to us. What did Jesus say? Do not be happy because demons are subject to you. Only be happy because your name is written in the book of the Lamb. Is your name written in the book of the Lamb? So friends, do not be fooled by works. Do not be fooled by powers. One needs to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. One must believe the gospel. One must chase after gospel preaching, not miracles and wonders.
This is very important, friends, because sometimes the outward work of the false prophets and the false teachers may not convince you that these people actually are not of God. What they do sometimes may not convince you that these people are doing outrageous things to mock the word of God and to mock Jesus and to mock what we stand for. Sometimes it may not be seen like that. So what must we do? You need to discern and introspect the people's lives as we have read and preached last week. There must be a way to introspect these people's lives. Introspect your own life as well. Am I still standing right with the Lord? Because you can perform miracles and do mighty works, but still find yourself far from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says these people were performing works, doing miracles, but they were wolves in sheep's clothing. We did hear about that last week. So friends, in the same way, the false teachers and the false prophets are wolves in sheep's clothing, so are the false converts. They are the same. They are also wolves in sheep's clothing. Although they may not be devouring another like their teachers do, but also they put on a makeup, if you will, or a mask. That is the word hypocrite. They have put on a mask pretending to be something that they are not, but claiming to have powers, but the very same power that Judas also had. So sometimes it may be impossible for you to identify false converts because of what they say. So it is not how you identify a false convert. It is not how you introspect your life to see whether we are still standing in the truth. It is not by looking or concentrating much on what you say. Because false converts can say, Lord, Lord. That's what we see here. They can say, Lord, Lord. They can think that they are in a good standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. They think actually that Jesus Christ owes them loyalty. Listen to what they say in verse 23. They act as though Jesus Christ owes them something. They are not saying, Jesus Christ, we did prophesy, we did. No, there is a question. Did we not? In other words, you are a witness actually. You are the witness. You know we did. You must stand on our side and be our witness. Did we not? Do in your name? He's supposed to say yes. You see, that kind of a question is a question that leads you to say yes, you did. They are not only claiming, they are putting Jesus as a witness. Even is what we see today. False converts make Jesus a witness of what they are doing. Did we not prophesy? You are our witness, Jesus Christ. But let me point out something before we move on, friends. Jesus does not say here that all who says, Lord, Lord, will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. He's not saying that all who says, Lord, Lord, will not enter. Friend, he says, not all who says. So there are those who will say, Lord, Lord, but also enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because these people who will say, Lord, Lord, and enter into the kingdom of heaven are the people who will meet a prerequisite, a requirement to enter. What is that requirement? These are the people who are doing the will of the Father who is in heaven. That's what our verse says. Doing the will of the Father who is in heaven. So the prerequisite, my friend, is not simply confession. It is not only what comes out of your mouth. It is the lordship of Jesus over you. A life characterized by obedience to all that the Father is saying unto you. People who will live godly lives. People who will live and delight in the law of the Lord. People who purposely live for Jesus by putting off sin and putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. People who will be able to deal with the issues and crucify their flesh and crucify their lustful hearts.
doing the will of God,
doing that on daily basis. People who will confess their sins on daily basis. People who will seek the Lord on daily basis. People who will walk with Him on daily basis. So friends, in other words, no amount of confessing the Lord Jesus Christ proves your salvation, but doing the will of the Father. So you can claim to prophesy, you can claim to be a demon hunter, you can claim to do mighty works, but does the word of God richly dwell in you? Are you built on a solid ground, my friend? Do you do the will of the Father? Do you love your enemies as yourself? Do you forgive as you also have been forgiven? Do you strive to live for God, not the world? Do you strive to live in peace with those around you? Do you love the truth? Because friends, Christianity is not about your confession. Christianity is not about mighty deeds. Christianity is not about miracles, wonders, prophecy, false tongues, and apparent power over demons. Christianity is about salvation, and salvation is about Jesus. Salvation is about the man who died on the cross, bled for us, so that we may be saved from our sin. And on that day, friends, Jesus will stand there as a judge, not as a savior. Regardless of what you will say, it will not save you. He will be standing there as a judge, not a savior. He says here, they will say to me. So they will say to me. They will even have the guts to still speak to him. There you see the degree of false conversion, my friend. People still have false assurance that Jesus knows them. That's how deep false conversion is. False assurance. Thinking that Jesus knows you. That's what we see in the first place. But secondly, the Bible tells us that Jesus will deny false converts. This is said, my friends. Jesus will deny false converts. Verse 23. And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Friends, these are sad words. Very sad words to hear. More so because they come from a mouth or lips which cannot lie. These words come from the Lord Jesus Christ, and he tells the truth. He says, I will say I never knew you. This is not like meeting your friend whom you went with to school or college 20 years ago and say, hey Pembe. Then I say, don't worry, I don't know you. You can turn around and say whatever you say after that. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a servant of God, a faithful servant. When he say, I don't know you, it means, I don't know you. There is no lie here. What said words, my friends? He will say, I don't know you. In other words, Jesus will deny false converts before the angels and before God. I never knew you. What does it mean? I never had a relationship with you. What does it mean? While on earth, you occupied yourself with doing worthiness. You never worried about me. While on earth, you loved the world more than you loved me. You did not add virtue on your faith. Your life did not back up your Christian story. While on earth, you loved what you were doing. You were excited about temporal position of power. While on earth, you spoke life. That's what you said. You spoke life to one another. You declared stuff in the name of the Lord. You went from train to train and supposedly preaching the gospel. You went from street to street, showing position of power and claiming stuff before the people, showing some kind of godliness that is not there in the name of the Lord. Friends, these people, since Jesus is not a liar, these people had not experienced the new birth. These are people that could speak about Jesus. People that could speak on behalf of him. About him and for him, so to say. They could boast about Jesus Christ. They could claim to have experienced him. They could claim that they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit.
But they did not have a true testimony of salvation. All that they had was stories. Stories of how they were sick and how they were demon possessed. And then the Lord Jesus Christ delivered them. How they had wounds in their bodies. Now they are free. But no story of that I was a sinner. I found the Lord. He found me and he cleansed me from within. Now I stand blameless before him. No story like that. No story that I was a sinner and I repented of my sin. I came to the Lord, I believed. No story like that. I was sick. I went to a tent. The preacher prayed for me. I was sick. I went to a church. They pulled me to the front and they spoke a word of prophecy to me. I was poor. I joined that church. Now I'm rich. I love the Lord. No story. I was sick in my soul. The Lord touched me. I was a wicked man. The Lord touched me. I was an unloving person. The Lord touched me. I was a hypocrite. The Lord touched me. I didn't love His word. I hated church. Now I love the gospel. No word like that. Standing before the Lord. Making Jesus a witness, but Jesus doesn't know you. Because there was never a time when your heart was connected through the power of the Holy Spirit, connected to the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. No testimony that He died for me on that cross. The testimony that He died for us on the cross, that we may be free, that we may be healthy and prosper in this world. That's what is happening in our day, my friend. You hear people say, confess Christ with your mouth. Just say, confess Christ with your mouth. Say a prayer after me. But nowhere in the Bible it says, when you say a prayer after somebody, your name gets written in the book of life. The Bible clearly says, my friend, believe in your heart. It says, let there be true conversion in your heart. Let there be a true conviction of sin in your heart. By the power of the Spirit, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There has to be a genuine belief on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just words. Words means nothing. That's what we say here. Words means nothing. Words can be something that we say to fool ourselves. Your heart can be fooling you based on your religious acts and what you are doing in this world, carrying a Bible each and every Sunday. So these people were being enlightened, friends. They were being enlightened to the truth, but the truth did not turn their hearts to the cause of Christ. They sat under the good ministry of the word, but the truth spoken in that ministry or through that pastor, whoever it was, did not turn their heart to the cause of Christ. Because friends, it is possible to be enlightened. It is possible to love Christian principles and Christian moral standard. It is possible to claim and believe that there is a God in heaven. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ will say, I never knew you. That is the sad thing. What we see here, friends, is these people were up and down, Sunday by Sunday, to the church, confessing day by day, even on Facebook, saying, typing, Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord. Telling people and inviting them to crusades and deliverance services. Getting busy and acting like witch doctors in the church. Yet at the end of the day, he says, I never knew you. Because Jesus, friends, the Bible says, he himself says, I know my sheep. They hear my voice and they follow me. They don't do what they want to do. They don't live according to the way that they want to live. They don't look at the standard of the world and how the world moves or where is the world going. Then they go like that. They are not like dead fish. Only dead fish move to the same direction, friends. They are not like that. They are my sheep. They hear my voice. They don't twist scripture to create their own system of thought so that they may pull a crowd to themselves. But they listen to me. Do you listen to the Lord Jesus Christ? Think of that sorrow and disappointment in that day. Think of the tears and frustration on that day. when Jesus Christ declared no knowledge of false converts, saying, I never knew you. You never listened to me. You never loved my teaching, but you despised my teaching. You searched for ear-tinkling messages. Jesus will deny false converts. But that takes us to some kind of a logical conclusion. False assurance, whatever they say, doesn't matter. And now Jesus is denying them. Where are we going now? Deadly. False converts will be condemned. False converts will be condemned. Verse 23, the last part. Depart from me. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. There will be a separation from Christ, my friends. Eternity outside the kingdom of God. Eternity in utter darkness. Eternity in a place of sorrow and pain. Eternity away from endless bliss and eternal glory. But in a place of misery. Jesus says, there is a place of misery. This is not Baba Ras, Elder Ras. He's not saying there is a place of misery. Jesus says there is a place of misery. To us, friends, as saved Christians, this is a reminder. This is something we need to put on our heart and really glorify the Lord and say, thank God you saved us. It is also a challenge to us that we may introspect our hearts and really see that we are still in the faith. There will be a separation from Christ. Jesus says, I will say, depart from me. The question is, where, friends? Depart to where? Because we know only in Him is life. Only in you is eternal joy and happiness. Where shall we go? Where are these people supposed to be going? There are many verses we can read, friends. I will quote Matthew 25. Let's see there what the Bible says. It tells us that when Jesus has finished separating the people into two groups, in his mind he will have sheep and goats. He will separate them. But then listen to what verse 47 of chapter 25 says. It says here, then, that is Jesus, he will say to those on his left, the goats, the false converts, the miracle workers of today, the prophesiers of today, the false assurances of today, he will say to them in verse 21, depart from me, you cast into eternal fires, prepared for the devil and his angels. So where are they departing from me? To eternal fires. Verse 23 in our text does not tell us where, but the Bible tells us where. Depart from me, you cast into eternal fires, which were actually prepared for the devil and his angels. Revelation 22, verse 14 and 15. What a blessed word of God. Listen to what it says. Blessed are those who wash their robes. Blessed are those who keep themselves pure. Blessed are those who cling to the old rugged cross on daily basis. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life. And they will enter the city by the gates. Outside the city. That's not me. This is Jesus. Outside the city are dogs and sorcerers, witchcraft, and those who practice witchcraft, yes. They are dogs and sorcerers and sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood outside. Depart from me. That is what you find on the outside. What a sad day is going to be for a false convert. Even though now you love false teaching, tinkling your ear, what day is going to be? A very sad day. Friends, there's a place here we are being told about. A place of gnashing and grinding of teeth. That is where all false converts will find themselves. But why, friends? Why? Let the word of God answer to us. Why? Is it because they were not Reformed Baptists? Or they were not Reformed at all? Is that the reason? Friends, it is very important to hold to Reformed theology, as in our church. because that's the only doctrine that the scripture teaches, is very important. But are they finding themselves in destruction because they were not Baptist or Reformed? Let's see. The Bible says they find themselves in destruction because of lawlessness. Lawlessness and their deliberate working of this lawlessness on daily basis. So what does this tell you, friends? You may not be in one of those churches, the false churches. You may not be there, but the prerequisite of finding yourself in destruction is lawlessness, ungodliness despite of religiousness, ungodliness despite of long prayers and fasting, it wouldn't count. Ungodliness despite knowing verses and church attendance. Lawlessness. The Bible says these people, when they were alive, they were workers. There's a word there, workers of lawlessness. Friends, this is to get busy. A worker is somebody who's busy, like a person who works in a construction. Busy. This is not office work. Typing is more than that. They were workers of lawlessness. They were sweating in this life to make sure that they practice lawlessness. This is not you being taken by sin for 5 seconds and then 2 minutes later you confess your sins to the Lord. This is workers of lawlessness. They delight in lawlessness regardless of the form they look, or the garment, as it were, that they put before everyone's eyes. Regardless of what they say, they are workers of lawlessness. They continue in sin and in shameful deeds in this world. So their destruction is based on what is in their hearts, not what came from their mouth. Not what comes from your mouth, what is in their heart. What is in their heart, that destruction is based on that. What a sad day is going to be, my friend. What a sad day is going to be when we see our loved one who refused Jesus Christ today. When we see our loved one who doesn't want to hear anything about salvation, but they want stories. When we see them going to that place of torment, what a sad day is going to be. What a sad day is going to be when we see our friends who act smart today and casting out demons, prophesying lies. When we see them walking side by side, far from us, what a sad day is going to be. A sad day where there will be no Facebook to defend any false prophets. Where every church, every person will be standing alone in the eyes of the Lord. What a sad day. It won't matter, friends, what church you come from. Although it is very important to go to a biblical church, because a biblical church can add some positive in your life, but it won't be based on that. The point I want to make before you, friends, one clear sign of false conversion is a life of lawlessness. Worker of lawlessness, it says here. The life we see in Galatians chapter number 5. Can we all turn there? Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21. We read this. Let us remind ourselves with. This is the life of lawlessness. Galatians 5, verse 19 to 21. The word of God reads as following. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and all these other things. That is what we see here, friends. And I want you to notice, my friends, the false teachers don't teach against what Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21 says. They don't teach about this. And the surprising part is the false converts like it that way. When we don't preach about sin, when we don't tell people that this God doesn't want, the false converts love it that way. The false teachers will not lead you to the right where they will not lead you to the truth. They will not teach you against these issues of life, issues that affect the heart. They will not teach you against it. They might pray for you. They might pray with you. Not only for you, but maybe with you. They might visit you in the house. They might speak very nice words to you. They might lie to you and tell you that what you are going through is normal for every Christian, so that they don't lose you. But friends, they might tell you also that God understands. But I've got news for you. God doesn't understand. God does not accept this. Jesus says, "Depart from me, workers of lawlessness. You pretended to be my disciples and profaned the name of the Lord. Depart from me. You stood in the street corners and pretended to be something that you were not, prayed to be seen by men. You made long prayers and boasted about your riches and your success and shamed the poor. Depart. Depart from me. Above all, you continued in sin without shame, calling on my name, making me a witness of sin and associating my name with your sin. Depart from me." I want you to notice here, friends. The problem is not the open confession. Listen carefully. To say Jesus Lord, Lord is not the problem. We must make an open confession of our Lord. But our open confession must be a genuine confession. It must be real. We must call him Lord, Lord, friends. We must not be ashamed of him. Look at Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Look what the Bible says there. It says, "For whosoever is ashamed of me and whosoever is ashamed of me and my ways in this adulterous and sinful generation, whosoever is ashamed of me, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he come to the glory of his Father with his holy angels." So we must not be ashamed to say Lord, Lord, but is our Lord, Lord saying a genuine saying? Is it real? Because it says here, not everyone who says Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of God. Not everyone who claims to love Jesus will see Jesus that day. Not everyone who claims to trust on the Lord Jesus Christ will sing that new song in that new Jerusalem. Not everyone, says the word of God. So the question is, am I saved? Do I believe in Christ? Do I live for him? Do I live by his standard? Do I mourn for my sin? Do I even mourn for the sin of others? Do I hunger and thirst for righteousness? Do I have peace with God, peace with fellow men? Do I love the law of God? Do I shine my light so that others may see the good works that I do and then praise the Lord who is in heaven? Am I the salt of the world? Am I poor in spirit? Am I meek? Am I merciful? Am I pure in heart? Am I the light of the world? Am I honest? Am I not gratifying the desires of the flesh? Am I displaying true Christian characteristics? Loving true doctrine, loving one another, loving the word of God, and living right before him. Is that me? Do I live in obedience to God's word? Because if not, I might be fooling myself. If not, I might be a false convert. And it will be said on that day to me, "Depart from me, worker of lawlessness." I pray, Lord, have mercy on us. May the Lord have mercy on our souls. May we glorify him, knowing that we are the true children of God. May he protect us against these ravaging wolves out there. May he protect our children against false conversion. May the Lord have mercy on us. May we be aware of false conversion. I'm closing. And I want to close like this. Not only is false conversion a product of false preachers and false prophets, my friends, but growing up in a Christian home and think that we are saved when we have never come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you have never repented of your sin, when you have never recognized your own need of salvation, that will land you in hell.
Not only growing up in a Christian home, but also growing up in Sunday school, saying memory verses, which is good, but you have never believed and repented of your sin, it will land you in hell. Some people have stopped smoking, they have stopped drinking excess alcohol, they've decided to start going to church, they decided to get married and start a new life, which is actually good. But the question is, my friend, have you seen the need of Christ in your life to take away your sin, to take away that stony heart and give you a heart of flesh, to give you a heart filled with the Spirit of God, a heart that will please God at all times? So you must not hope in your confession of the Lord Jesus Christ when your heart is far from Him. You need to take heed. You need to love the word of God and meditate on it day by day and day and night. Remember, my friends, life is all about knowing the true Jesus Christ, the Christ of Scripture, not your own Christ which you have made, not your own fabrication of Jesus Christ, not Jesus who exists to do your will, not the Jesus you sent to the bank to steal other people's money and put it in your own bank, not the Jesus who danced to your tune. No, the Jesus of Scripture. Not the Jesus who calls you to speak in tongues but cannot cause you to preach the gospel of God or believe the gospel of God. Not the Jesus who calls you to love tinkling messages, ear tinkling messages, but he will not make you love the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the Jesus Christ who only speaks to you in dreams, but he cannot speak to you through the preaching of the word and reading the word of God and singing the word of God. That's not the Jesus of Scripture. So beware of false conversion. It gives false hope. It gives false assurance. Beware of false conversion. Jesus will deny you. Beware of false conversion. You will be condemned. False conversion will make you believe what Jesus does not believe about you. It will make you think you are a child of God when you are not. What must you do? Enter by the narrow gate. Believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in Him. Turn away from your sin. Continue then, since we have turned from our sin, let us continue to live for Him. Let us glorify His holy name. Let us practice obedience of heart. Let us make our election sure by living a life of godliness in this world. May the good Lord continue to bless our hearts as we take care of our own hearts, that we may be aware of false conversion. But look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. May the Lord bless us. And Jesus Christ says, whosoever does these things, let me read for you. Everyone then who hears these words of mine is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. We'll look at that next week. May the Lord bless us. Let us beware of all conversion. Let us seek Christ in all that we do. Let us strive to love Him and live for Him. Let's pray.